Hello, you're listening to the European Uncovered podcast show with me, your host, Ayata Rabin. So today I'm going to be giving a little kudos to the neuroscientists and the remarkable advances they've made in helping us understand our brains and understanding, how our neurons are technically wired. So if you were to look back just a couple of decades ago, I happened to come across a picture of or like a diagram of the visual system, and oh my, it was brief. So it would look something like two eyes at the bottom, an optic nerve flowing from the back, and then there's this large nose in the middle for some reason that's not connected to anything in particular. So yeah, now if you compare this to more recent representations of the visual system, you'll see that things have gotten substantially more complicated. And that's because today we can see what's inside of the brain rather than just looking at its overall shape. So imagine you wanted to understand how a computer works, and all you could see was a keyboard, a mouse, and a screen. You really would be kind of out of luck. Like, you'd want to open it up, crack it open, look at the wiring inside. And up until a little more than a century ago, nobody was able to do that with the brain. Nobody had a glimpse of the brain's wiring. And that's because if you take a brain out of the skull and you cut a thin slice of it, put it under a very powerful microscope, there's nothing there. It's gray. Formless. There's no structure. It won't tell you anything. Well, yeah, that all changed in the late 19th century. Suddenly, new chemical stains for brain tissue were developed, and they gave us our first glimpses at brain wiring. The computer was cracked open. So now what really launched modern neuroscience was a stain called the Golgi stain. And it works in a very particular way. So instead of staining all the cells inside of a tissue, it somehow only stains about 1% of them. It clears the forest, reveals the tree inside. If everything had been labeled, nothing would have been visible. So yeah, somehow it shows that that's there. And there's this Spanish neuroanatomist, Cajal, who's widely considered, the father of modern neuroscience. He applied this Golgi stain, which yields data, which looks like, how do I say it? A neuron, practically. So if you're thinking of the brain as a computer, that is the little, transitor. And so yeah, very quickly, Cajal realized that neurons don't operate alone, but rather make connections with others that form circuits just like in a computer. So yeah, today, a century later, when researchers want to visualize neurons, they light them up from the inside rather than just darkening them up and stuff. And there's several ways of doing that. But one of the most popular ways involves green fluorescent proteins. So now green fluorescent proteins are oddly enough becoming the new thing, they have their own niche. And if we were to talk about the origins, they actually come from bioluminescent jellyfish, which is very useful. Fun fact. If you can just get the gene for green fluorescent protein and deliver it to a cell, the cell will just glow green. And or any one of the many variants now. You can just get any cell to grow many different colors. It's quite fascinating. If you see pictures of that, it's beautiful. So yeah, now coming back to the brain, this is from a genetically engineered perspective. That's what we're heading for now. There's this other thing, and it's like a genetically engineered mouse called Rainbow. This was developed to identify, individual molecular components of neurons, molecules, rather than the entire cell. So it's like a type of thing they do to just get more specific. There's quite so many different fascinating things. And they're, if you see images of them, they're quite very beautiful, very powerful. And we've spoken of serotonin before, of course. We've spoken about it in the context of diseases like depression and anxiety. So yeah, we've mentioned that SSRIs, and these are drugs used to treat these diseases. And in order to understand how serotonin works, it's critical to understand the practical basis serotonin machinery, right? And using antibody staining is a method that can, help us kind of sort of understand that question. So here I've kind of summed up some of the tools that neurons have, that neuroscientists have been using to understand neurons. Yeah, and these are just some of my favorites. So yeah, I'd like to just leave you with the following thought that, you know, grain flours and protein and antibodies are both totally natural products at the get-go, and they were evolved by nature in order to, you know, get a jellyfish to go green for whatever reason, or in order to detect the co-protein of an invading virus, for example. And only much later did like neuroscientists go like, you know, oh, okay, so these are tools, these are functions that we could use in our research tool palette. Yeah, it's quite fascinating. And well, luckily, instead of applying them to our little human minds and trying to design these tools from scratch, they just used already made solutions right out there, developed by nature, which is, by the way, the greatest engineer of all. So yeah, I hope that the, you know, just sparked a little interest in you in the different tools being used in this field of ours. And thank you so much for listening to my episode. I'll be talking to you very soon. Feel free to leave a review wherever you're listening to this podcast. And yeah, I'll talk to you later. Bye.